Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols alongside, literally alongside Richard Jefferson and Matt Barnes. Welcome back to the studio, friends. Yes. Things are looking up. Coming up, Steph Curry says opposing teams are looking for revenge on the Warriors after they dominated the league for so long. Does that explain what happened last night against the Lakers? Richard was there. We'll discuss. First, though, so would you say these Boston Celtics are overachievers or underachievers? They've been to the conference finals three of the past four seasons, but they've also not made it to the finals any of those years. They're one of just a handful of teams sending multiple players to this year's All-Star game, but they've also spent more than a third of the season outside the top half of the East playoff bracket. Ask the Celtics themselves, and they'll tell you they believe they're much better than their current record suggests. Although for a while against the Wizards last night, we were quite frankly getting evidence on both sides. At times, Boston looked extremely sharp. Check this Kemba 3 to give the Celtics an 11-point lead in the third quarter. Walker would finish this game with 21 points, looking a whole lot like his old before-the-knee problems self. And Daniel Theis also had a great game, 20 points, 9 rebounds. It's performances like that from the team's role players that Boston is going to need to go anywhere this season. And it was particularly timely last night with Jaylen Brown out with a knee injury. But for Boston to go anywhere this season, the Celtics will also need to clean up the careless stretches like the one that let the Wizards come storming back last night. In fact, Washington led by 8 with under 3 minutes to go, thanks to yet another blistering performance from Bradley Beal, who would finish with 46. Yet instead of folding, Boston stood its ground. Jason Tatum, in particular, was just a monster. Check the turnaround fadeaway 3. Pretty good. Then some repeated old-fashioned head-down drives to the basket, and check what happens. Around the 15-second mark, Tatum crashes to the floor, which means the court gets some sweat on it, sweat that Beal then slips on a few seconds later, which lands him with his feet out of bounds. And how did Bradley feel about this?
Probably some of the goofiest shit I've ever seen in my life. Slipped out of bounds. Gave Tatum 3 layups at the end of the game.
Yeah, he said 3 layups for Tatum, and here's the third. Fantastic reverse there. That put Boston up by 1. And while the Wizards then had the ball and nearly 5 on the clock, watch the Celtics sideline here. The coaching staff recognizes Washington's set here. It's the same one that helped the Wizards beat Denver recently, and they start yelling instructions, telling players Beal is going to curl to the corner and that no one should switch. Yep. The heads up allowed Boston to trap Beal in that corner. Brad couldn't get a shot off, and boom. Celtics win. Got a shot off. Couldn't get a good shot.
Hit it, too.
Afterward, Brad Stevens praised Tatum's, quote, will to win, saying it's been a tough month for him, but that this team has kept its connectedness and its belief. The Boston Celtics see themselves as one of the NBA's better teams. And while the jury may be still out for the rest of us, last night was certainly another step toward at least making their case. So, Richard, where are you on that? Do you believe in this Boston Celtics team this year?
I do believe in them. Like, do I think that, you know, they need to improve a ton if they're going to make a similar run that they made last year? I do. They have two young stars that are growing together, that are learning how to be leaders. And you saw Jason Tatum took over after, like, being up, being down, not having a great month, all the reasons to kind of, you know, go a different direction, and he took over. And so just based off of that, you got to believe in him.
I believe, and Richard will tell you, the season doesn't start till after the All-Star break.
Right.
And if you think about it, their core of Marcus Smart, Kemba, Tatum, and Brown have only played 2 games together this year, you know, so they still haven't got that chemistry and that timing down that they need, and they will get post All-Star break. And they're still right in the thick of things. I think it's 17-17. There's 3 teams, Toronto and Miami are kind of all in the thick of things, and I see all of them, you know, trending up after All-Star break. But I'm definitely believing in the Celtics and looking forward to their rise second half of the season.
Well, look, they're playing in the East, whereas we keep noting only a handful of teams, even over 500. Oh, boy. We'll get to that a little bit more later in the show. But look, I think that if you get what you get last night, if you get Kemba looking like Kemba yes. Walker, if you get role players playing to their ability, if you get Jaylen Brown back, this is a team that could do something. The thing is, though, they are going to be hard capped this year. So I'm interested to see what they do at the trade deadline. Do they use that trade exception they got out of the Gordon Hayward deal? Do they wait to do it this summer so they give them more flexibility this summer? I can't tell yet whether Danny Ainge feels this team really can make a run. So how much is he going to invest in them? And then, of course, we're getting ready for Marcus Smart to come back,
yeah.
too.
I think one thing, too, is I think we're underestimating Marcus Smart's importance, and it doesn't always show up in the numbers, but Tatum's numbers and Brown's numbers offensively are down with Marcus Smart out because he does kind of the Clay factor where Clay would always take the top scoring guard and kind of help save Steph a little bit. Marcus Smart does that for both those wings. Both those guys play defensive, but that's Marcus's job. And I think his leadership and the little things that don't show up on the stat sheets are really overlooked with his absence right now.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. Marcus Smart, and you see that. We've seen it with COVID. We've seen it with injuries. We've seen so much. So this year, it's tough to really judge almost any coach, right? Like Utah, who is rolling through the league, they've only had three different starting lineups. Yeah. They've had no COVID and no injuries. And they're a very good team.
Yeah. Right.
So that's why. And so other teams that have dealt with it, even if they're a very good team, you could see a big drop.
You said coach. You mean the blowback on Brad Stevens right now in Boston because it's loud and windy at the moment. Marcus Smart, also a lot of playmaking for the Celtics, too, that they're missing there as well. All right. Let's go to the other side of that game because it's time for another edition of our favorite news show. I love this. Go ahead.
This is the true story.
True story.
Of 17 strangers
picked to play on a team.
We're all adults.
Work together.
I can't do you guys' job. You guys can't do my job.
And have their lives taped.
That's frustrating.
Find out what happens
when people stop being polite.
And start getting Bill.
What a dog.
The Bill World.
D.C.
First of all, I hear that G-Wiz is a terrible, terrible roommate. I'm just going to put that out there. Before Sunday's last-second loss to the Celtics, the Wizards had won 7 of their last 8, and they're only 2 games back of earning a spot in the play-in game. So, Matt, should Wizards fans see the glass as half empty or half full right now?
Definitely half full after the way the season started. And I think, too, and kind of our job is, what have you done for me lately? They got off to a terrible start, but we're forgetting Russell Westbrook had to get used to Russ. Russ is a star, a future Hall of Famer, but his style of play is something you have to get used to, and he had to get used to Bradley Beal. So I think, you know, they're off to, you know, they're playing a lot better. I would believe half full. It's not like we're saying this team is going to make a championship run, but they're definitely capable of making the playoffs in the East.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you look at how a team has played, to Matt's point, look at how they're trending, and they're trending in a positive direction. That being said, 11 straight games of scoring 40
and losses.
That's got to be the
Let's actually say the stat for the people. So Bradley Beal has the last 11 games where he has tipped over 40, the Wizards have lost, which is not shockingly an NBA record.
It's not an NBA record?
I mean, that is the NBA.
Oh, I'm about to say, I was like, who scored more than that and didn't win
Monday,
a game?
And I need more coffee.
It's okay. But that, to me, you know, there might be something in that stat. Like, there might be something in that stat. Now, I'm not going to, like, get on Bradley Beal or say this, but 11 times? Like, I'm sorry, if I'm doing something 11 times and it's not working, I might change.
What else do you want him to do?
I'm just saying, I might change my approach.
Well, there's an interesting stat. I did my show this morning and we were digging a little bit. When Donovan Mitchell shoots just under 20% or 20 attempts a game, they're 15-1. When he shoots 22 attempts per game, just that's 2.5 shot attempts per game, they have the record is a lot different. So there's that thin line between attempts and numbers for leading players that kind of tilt whether they're going to win or lose.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, if it's like, I'm not saying not to go out if you're cooking to go.
He's supposed
40,
to try to score 50 every night.
Every night. That's his job to do. But it's like, okay, maybe take a different approach to that. Because 11 straight times at 40, that's not just a random thing. That means that, like, you're scoring, you're doing a lot, but it's not generating team wins.
Yes, that's all true. But it also does get back to what you were talking about in the Celtics part of this discussion, which is they have had a crazy number of starting lineups, hit hard by COVID, and obviously I think it's hard to get get in a rhythm with your teammates for the kind of stuff you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think a lot of games Bradley has just been like, I guess it's just me. Yeah. I'm going out there.
Hey, there I go.
Yeah. Beal World DC, an excellent show within the show, brought to you by The Jump. And I hear that the Real World New York that started off The Real World on MTV,
yeah,
they're having those guys reunion? Come back and live in the house.
Was that like Puck and
now,
those guys back in the day?
Oh.
Like teenagers.
So, before that, the first one, the original
Puck
original one in New York City. Puck was San Francisco.
Oh, okay, Puck was San Francisco.
We'll do a little education during the commercial break for the youngsters. Coming up, the Clippers went cold down the stretch against the Bucks on Sunday. Is this another example of why they need an upgrade at the point guard position? Let's discuss the great game between the Clippers and Bucks Sunday afternoon on ABC. The Clippers were up 100-96, 4 minutes to go, so up four with four, but they failed to score another point and ended up losing by five. Look, Richard, we've been talking about this all season. The point guard position, they need a floor general out there, but they are really capped in terms of what they can do at the trade deadline because they've given away all their picks.
Yep.
So really, it's buyout market. And what do you think they need to do at this spot? What is that face for?
That face is like, you know, people get mad. Oh, well, what about the Clippers? What about the Clippers? And then Paul George gets a lot of heat. I understand Kawhi gets a pass, but Kawhi needs to start getting talked into this a little bit because Kawhi is a part of the problem as much as Paul George, even more so because Kawhi is considered a better player.
But you don't think the point guard spot is more of the problem?
No, 0-for-9 for those two has nothing to do with the point guard spot. Like, they've had the similar point guard situation over the last couple of years, and they were still favored last year. Now we're trying to figure out why.
But how did they do last year?
I think the point, and this is not a knock on Beverly, but to me, your point guard either has to be a scorer or a playmaker, and he's neither. You know, he's a great, one of the best on-ball defenders we have in the league. I think he would be even better suited at the two if that was available, but it's not available. But coming off the bench, they need to. But their hands are tied with the contracts to get, you know, these two superstars they got. So you can look at a Rubio or an Eric Bledsoe, possibly packaging a who's the kid they got from Duke? What's his name? Kennard.
Yes.
You know, possibly packaging a Kennard because they gave him some nice money. But I feel like they definitely need to address that point guard situation. Although the point guard situation, like Richard said, had nothing to do with these guys going 0-for-9 down the stretch.
Okay, look, I'm not making excuses for anyone. And look, Paul George has taken the heat in every moment this season.
Right.
He has been there for it. So I'm not giving those guys a pass.
Yeah.
But I do think it matters who you have setting you up, the playmaking, it matters. And if you look at Kyle Lowry with Kawhi in Toronto, it changed what was possible there.
Yeah.
Now, Kyle Lowry, I don't think is necessarily even going to be available from the Raptors. There's some question about that, but the Clippers don't have the assets to get him.
But even if you look at last year in the bubble with what Rondo did returning for LeBron and taking the burden off LeBron, where LeBron wasn't the only playmaker on the floor, like these two guys are your scoring two and three, and they have to be playmakers and point guards as well. So like I said, love Patrick Beverley, his tenacity, his mindset, his defensive presence, but they definitely need to upgrade the point guard.
Not a knock on Pat Bev. He does different things.
Absolutely.
He does.
And it doesn't always show up in the numbers, too. He's someone I would definitely go to war with, but as a starting point guard on a team that's possibly a championship caliber team, I think they need to upgrade the point guard.
You're not here for it. You're just, that face.
We look at 0-for-9 and then we say, oh, well, they need a point guard.
This has been a conversation the whole season, though.
All right, let's move on because
they need to play better. They need to play better.
There you go. Stick with us. After getting blown out by the Lakers, Steph says, quote, teams want to beat us and beat us bad. Is that BS or real talk? Yeah. These guys are going to have signs. They will tell you. They're back in the studio, people. Also, Luka told me after snapping the Nets win streak Saturday night, he is unworthy to the comparisons that some of Larry Bird's former teammates are making between him and Larry Bird. Richard and Matt will say if they agree with Luka or with the former teammates. Stay with us. Are you still doing the double workouts?
No. I took a week off. My back got a little tight, a little old, man.
So I played basketball for the first time since I retired nearly 4 years ago yesterday.
Are you serious?
I trained with boss Kevin Hart's trainer.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I can't. I had back spasms, butt spasms. I haven't moved today.
Matt, I haven't done
horrible.
It yet. I haven't played yet.
That's the first time in 4 years, bro. Four years I tried to play basketball, and I'm heading to Dr. Pat as soon as we get off the air. My body's killing me.
That's incredible.
Look, I have a lumbar pillow right now. That's how tight my back was.
That's
how tight my back was. I can't even imagine trying to play basketball right now. No.
Mm-mm. Crazy.
I got through.
First time.
It's crazy.
Well, yeah, I coach the kids, but like I'm so used into coaching, I don't shoot or nothing. Like right. I just rebound from my kids, so I don't ever have time to really even think about playing.
We're in the worst spot because we're not that far out where we want to go play with guys at the YMCA.
Right.
Right? We're like, no. But then also, mm-hmm. we don't want to stay in the type of shape to go run at UCLA. I don't want to be in that type of shape because you got to stay in shape. Look, I'm 40. I don't need any more basketball.
I have no desire.
Yeah.
Yeah, zero desire. Like I said, they were just talking after we were done training. Let's go play. And I happen to have some shoes. I just wish I didn't have shoes in my trunk yesterday. I threw them out.
Your guys are a little bit older. So, like, my guys are 3 and 5. So, it's like in 10 years when they want to go to the park and, like, hoop.
Right.
I'm going to be 50. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm not messing with y'all. So, that window is closed.
I thought you were 50 window. Now.
Right.
40. About to be 41.
If you want to know the conversations that happened during commercial breaks,
Mike's
that was during
hot.
A commercial last
Mike's are always
week.
Hot.
Mics are always hot. Oh, that's great. It's real. Oh, man. Matt and I have been playing against each other
like
since
15,
we were 15, 14, 16 years old. Like his California team with Deshaun Stevenson, Carlos Boozer, they were loaded. And we were the little Arizona Nerds.
And then Rich came on the scene and dominated.
Yeah.
Very impressive. They,
just because they didn't know me. That was it.
No pickup, apparently, after this show. That's the breaking news. All right, guys, it's time for Bring It.
The ball deserves to go in the crowd after a bull move like that.
I think it's bull.
I just thought it was bull.
Don't give me that crap.
Young Doc Rivers gets me every time. Is it BS or real talk? Let's start with John Wall and the Rockets. Took a 49-point home loss to the Grizzlies last night. It was the largest win in franchise history for Memphis. Yeah, I would think so. Wall was asked about the loss after the game and simply said this blank, 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 terrible. I'm not gonna say any of it because I'm not getting fined. Like Marshawn Lynch. BS or real talk?
That's 100% real talk.
Real talk. I think this team, you know, after James left, they wanted to show that they're a worthy team and can do, and they played well for a little while, but I think reality set in. Christian Wood's injury, departing with DeMarcus Cousins. Mm-hmm. Don't be surprised if this is a completely rebuilding mode post-trading deadline because you can still get some for Victor Oladipo. A lot of teams are talking about P.J. Tucker. This team can look completely different at the end of the trade deadline.
I think that they are one of the teams that could be really terrible down the stretch. Stretch, but make the postseason next year.
Yeah.
Right? I think they are. I think you get Christian Wood back. He has a summer. They can build out. They can get some assets for some of these guys that a lot of people want. Yeah. You're going to get a top 5 draft pick, and then all of a sudden you could be out of rebuilding mode. So I think Houston's still in the spot where this is just could be a small window of terrible basketball, and then they could be back next season.
I love that Wall has bounced back, though. I'm just happy for him individually because he's been through so much the last 2 years as far as trying to get his body back on the court.
Absolutely. Yeah. And your point about the trade deadline is interesting because this is a year with the play-in tournament. You have more teams that are going to at least stand pat. Even if they're not buyers, they're not going to be sellers because they think they can get in at least to a play-in game. And you have teams, frankly, especially in the Eastern Conference, who have not been in the playoffs in a long time. So getting that play-in spot means something to them. So they're not going to be sellers in the same way. So if you're Houston and you can be a seller, and Woj reported over the weekend that Victor Oladipo turned down a contract extension. So he's an expiring and is definitely someone who you might see moving out there. They could be in an advantageous position because there's not going to be as many sellers out there, which means
and Tucker's been waiting on his new contract for 2 years and it hasn't happened, so he's not happy either. So we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to the Warriors because also got blown out. Lakers did that last night. Steph Curry was asked after the loss. He's well aware the Warrior championship run has made them a target. Take a listen.
We have to remember. And even when we're playing well, we won 3 in a row. You know, teams still want to beat us and beat us bad. They still have, you know, a lot of memories from the last 5-6 years.
Just want to clarify there. He meant games, not championships. 3 in a row. BS or real talk?
Real. This is the realest. This is the realest talk I've heard in a long time. I mean, people took what that dynasty run personally because they were stomping on people and taking names that whole entire time and dancing and celebrating and winning championships. People don't forget that, you know. So until they right this ship, people are going to take pride in trying to beat the Warriors down every single night.
And one thing that we gloss over because the game has changed. Remember all of the turning around and high-fiving each other because Steph is that good of a shooter. like 90s basketball players, early 2000 players. That would have been a fight. Oh, that 100% been a fight, but the rules are changed and all that stuff is good and fine. Now other players are doing it, and that's where
that's
he's changing.
It's a great point, though, because back in the day,
you could never. So the point is, they were doing some quote unquote historically disrespectful stuff on the court and whooping you, and there was nothing you could do about it. And backing it up. So now that you're down, oh, no. We're going to put that gas pedal. I don't care how far you are down. We're going to keep that gas pedal. And when I say that he was doing disrespectful stuff, it's not, that's part of the game. Like, it's cool. It's a bat flip. It's whatever. But 20 years ago, 10 years ago,
they remember it.
They would not, never been allowed. So there's still a little, some old heads in this game that want to put it on them for the show.
Matt, what was the flip for you? Because you both played against those championship teams, and then you played on one of those championship teams in terms of experiencing how the league saw them from the inside and outside.
It was frustrating because you couldn't really do nothing with them. I mean, you can get as mad as you want, but Steph, Clay, KD, and Draymond orchestrating, you were at their mercy. And like I said, everyone remembers that, and getting a chance to join it and see it, it's even funner being on that
side.
Well,
of course it is.
Yes, yeah.
You know, but
Matt was doing some of that disrespectful stuff, too.
As long as Steph has a Warrior jersey on, they're going to be a target.
Yeah,
that is true. All right, Luka Doncic led the Mavs with 27 points as they beat the Nets on Saturday. After the game, I asked Luka about a notable comparison that we're starting to hear between himself and three-time MVP Larry Bird. Take a listen to what Luka said. You know, Luka, one of Larry Bird's old teammates, Cedric Maxwell, has been calling you Larry Bird reincarnated. And your coach, who also was a teammate of Larry Bird, told us this morning that he does see the resemblance. Have you looked at old film of Larry Bird? Do you see the similarities yourself?
I mean, yeah, I looked at it. I saw a lot of films, how he played. But, you know, you can't compare me to Larry Bird.
All right, guys, I want to make clear in that question, this was not like us at ESPN making this comparison. This was first Cedric Maxwell and then Rick Carlisle agreeing that he sees some of it, Larry Bird's old teammates. Do you think Luka's right that you can't compare him to Larry Bird, or that you can compare him to Larry Bird? Ooh, split.
I think you can.
Okay.
And not from a championship overall career perspective. Larry's one of the greatest players we've ever seen. But like Cedric Maxwell said, he's a 2K version of what Larry Bird would be with all the footwork and the ball handling, his size, his ability to get a bucket at any time. I think it's, you know, high honors when former teammates of one of the greatest players we've ever seen can compare a current player to him. And it's factual. When we do it, it's a little different. We never play with Larry, don't know Larry. But when guys that played with him and went to war with him can give you that kind of compliment, I just think Luka's being modest.
Mm-hmm. I think Luka's being modest, and rightfully so. He should be modest only from a place of, like, Larry Bird, we know this. If Larry Bird, you know, had the three-point line, all the things, like, if the game would have been different, who knows what Larry would have been able to do, because he was one of the greatest shooters that we've ever seen. Like, Steph, Clay, him, Reggie, Ray, like, he's in that category. Luka's not quite in that category. As far as being a big player that moves at a different pace but controls the game, there are so many similarities to the game, but to compare him, you start to look at legacy versus like who he is right now. Now, Luka's got a long way to go before he could be in a conversation with Larry Bird. But are there skill similarities? Yes. But I think Luka's doing the right thing by not like, well, I see that he's my favorite player. Yeah. That's who I want to be like. And my goal is to be better than Larry Bird one day.
And it's just like, and then people start killing him for that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think Luka definitely played it right. But as in our position, I think we can say it. I think Luka did the right thing because, like I said, if he said what Richard just said, oh, you think you're Larry, you're this, you know how social media in this world is. But Luka definitely has a lot of similarities, and it's going to be exciting to see him stay healthy and do what he does.
Well, there's fans who obviously think that Luka is going to have a Larry Bird-like career because
he had
the top-selling ever NBA card. Am I getting that right, Producer Danny? More than $4 million.
Crazy.
No rookie card has ever sold for that much, or no card ever has ever sold for that much.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You know what's funny is I got a text from Gary V, the guy that's on social media all the time, maybe 6 months ago. He said, Matt, buy trading cards are about to explode. And I looked at it, saw it, okay, I don't have time to buy trading cards. And now that's all you hear is how expensive and how, you know,
people are buying portions.
People are buying portions of trading cards. Like, so there could be 10 of us and we will buy like that card
and then
it sit there and then let it, you know, increase. You're like,
our friend Dave McMenamin on his IG feed is always going through the trading card stuff. There you go. Serious. Someone just spent $4 million.
Crazy.
Coming up, Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks have won five straight after losing five straight.
Hard.
After, I think, winning five straight. It's been an up and down season. What is going on in Milwaukee? Eric Woodyard is going to join us to break it all down. First, though, here's what the Jump recommends for today. Brian Windhorst writing about how keeping the Lakers together will be costly going forward, with Dennis Schroeder becoming a free agent this offseason. Lake Show is going to have to go into the luxury tax to keep the roster intact.
Oh, no.
The infamous words.
Yeah, the Lakers and all that money.
Well, it's a different kind of... Woohoo! Let's check out who was in the zone, brought to you by AutoZone. Oh, yes, it was that man you just saw. Back-to-back MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Been on a tear his last five games, averaging more than 35 points per game, 14 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal.
Woo. That's a lot. That's those are MVP numbers.
Those are video game numbers. But I think Richard just hit it. I think, you know, he's taking criticism. We've given him criticism because his lack of, you know, growth in the playoffs. And I think that's what's going to happen, is everything's going to be judged by what he does moving forward in the playoffs. He puts up video game numbers, but I think as fans and as you know, someone who loves the game, you want to see the growth and assertiveness in that fourth quarter, knowing that they can get there.
Well, we'll get there. Just give him this week. He was named East Player of the Week, so we'll give him that right now. That just happened in the last few minutes.
My bad. I jumped ahead, guys. Apologies.
That's all right, because we have Eric Woodyard joining us now.
What up, E?
Eric, thanks so much
What's
for
up,
being here. Covers the Bucks for us, of course, and the Bucks have now won five straight after losing five straight. They also had another five-game winning. They're up and down this season, but we've heard Eric over and over again. This is all about making adjustments to make them more flexible for what Matt was just talking about in the playoffs. So what have they actually been doing?
Number one, it's a change in mindset. We've said it over and over, but it's serious. This team has really changed the mindset. After they lost that five straight games a couple weeks ago against Toronto, Giannis came back into the facility the next day and he said, I know who we are. I'm going to embrace it. He never ran from it, never criticized guys, stepped up and really took responsibility. And everybody, after speaking to them last night, I asked them, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Giannis, how did they see that moment of when they lost five games? It's helping them, man. They're playing right now, but they're looking more so towards the future. And they embrace that process, and I think it's helping them now.
Well, Eric, I know you spoke to Drew Holiday about his extended absence. That was, of course, due to the health and safety protocols. So what has his return specifically meant to this team? They got him in this offseason for a reason.
He confirmed last night that, you know, we only knew it was the health and safety. He confirmed that it was COVID-19. Mm-hmm. He beat that. He had symptoms. And he said the same thing. He sat and watched this team, and he saw it being a learning lesson for these guys. And him coming back, he brings so much. He handles the ball great. He defends well great. Mm-hmm. And you saw when he was out, you know, they really struggled in that ball handling role. They had to even move DJ Augustine into a starting lineup. And they really struggled without him. And now that they have him back, I think you'll see this team. They're playing with that joy and passion. You saw Giannis with the big dunk last night. And, you know, he's just a smile on his face that you don't see often.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's really gave these guys a bump.
Yeah, no, I agree. My thing is, you look around the league. We were talking about the Clippers needing a point guard, and whether we agree or disagree. But you look at what the Lakers, when the Lakers lost Schroeder and Anthony Davis, they fell apart. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's other things that are going on, but Schroeder's been back.
And don't underestimate the Dennis Schroeder.
That's what I'm saying. All of a sudden, they won two games in a row. So getting Drew Holiday back for this Milwaukee Bucks is huge. Don't be like, oh, well, they still have Giannis. It's like, no, everyone has their role. And when a major role is missing, it can cause problems for your whole team. Yeah.
Excuse me for jumping ahead a little bit earlier. You know, but you just like to see it. Like I said, I think we're looking for more assertiveness down the stretch. You know, that's kind of been the knock that in a playoff series, you can make your adjustments and kind of neutralize Giannis. We want to see regular season Giannis in the playoffs. And I think he knows that now. The team is aware of that, and his mindset is more focused on that. So I'm excited to see what he do, because his numbers are incredible. Like I said earlier, you know, we knock him a lot, but he puts up video game numbers every single night. But now we just want to be able to see that translate to the playoffs. And if he's able to do that, that's when, you know, you really start talking about legacy for him.
Yeah.
Superstar.
It's funny because it is all about the playoffs with this team, but we criticize them in the regular season as well. So they almost can't win. I think they're just approaching it that mindset. You know, win five, lose five, win five. You know, this 2 weeks ago was panic mode. You know, now they're one of the hottest teams right now. So I think they're keeping that in mind and exactly what you're saying. I think, you know, they really want to make their mark when it matters.
I keep saying it on the show. We cannot tell the Bucks for two straight seasons, hey, what you did in the regular season doesn't matter.
Yes, you can.
And then say, oh, what you're doing in the regular season,
RJ
that matters
there. He said,
so
yes,
much.
You can. Yes, you
can. There you go. I talked to Giannis after a game, I think two games ago or something, and just about what it took for him to, he's so competitive, right? I mean, he's famously one of the most competitive guys in the NBA, to not focus every game on, we have to win this one individual game, but instead to be willing to try stuff out. Even if it didn't work, and we saw a couple games where it didn't work, right? He said he was willing finally to let that go, to sacrifice maybe a couple wins here or there so they are better, talking about finishing, exactly like Matt is speaking about. We'll see if they get there. Eric, thank you so much for joining us. It's always good to talk to you. It's crunch time here on The Jump. The Knicks, yes, the Knicks are above 500. Their win last night, they have won seven of their last nine, people. This is the latest into the season. The Knicks have been above 500 since the 2012-2013 season. Knicks fans are hyped, and they should be. Stand tall. Do it. You deserve it. Puff that chest out.
I feel like you're mocking them by doing
it. I'm not.
You
no,
are.
I'm being completely.
You're like, good job, buddy. You had a go.
That is so not true.
Wait a minute.
Everything out of your mouth might be sarcastic.
Why would you do that?
That's not accurate for the rest of us.
Why are you
being
sarcastic,
I lived
Rachel.
In New York for almost 20 years.
Like, look at the little guy go.
I'm so happy that this team is doing well. I'm not kidding.
Can you imagine? I mean, it would probably have to be in a second round if Brooklyn played the Knicks in the playoffs.
That happened. That happened one time. We swept them. But look. It's fine. It's happened one
But you
time.
Still went home to New Jersey. And that is what people who live in New York will tell you.
I went home to Tribeca. Actually, I would take a cab to my apartment in Tribeca.
Excuse us, Rachel.
Exactly. Thank you, Matt. Just because everything that comes out of your mouth is sarcastic, it is not the truth. I am very
That sounded
legit.
Very attaboy. Look at the old Gipper get him.
No, my point was, I'm not being attaboy about being over 500. It's not a participation medal because they haven't done it since 2013.
So we're applauding mediocrity?
Yes.
We're applauding getting better.
It's okay to admit it, too.
You know what? Knicks fans, I apologize. Congratulations.
Thank you. Let's
give them their roses.
That is sarcasm, by the way, if you can't understand that, in case you need a translation there. Not from me, definitely from him. KD will, of course, be drafting his All-Star team because he is captain this year, despite not playing. So who do you think KD should take, Matt?
His first pick?
Wait, so he doesn't have the first pick. LeBron does.
He's going to take probably one of his teammates.
Yeah. I think he's going to take Kyrie, right?
Yep.
I think LeBron should take Kyrie first.
Just to do it.
And then.
Oh, what about James Harden, though?
Then KD takes James Harden.
Okay.
And does he get two picks? He gets two picks.
Is that
right?
How it works?
I think he should take.
James Harden. No, it's not a snake draft. I think it's every other. Right?
Oh.
Thanks for Danny.
I've never been an all-star
Isn't that what you call it when it's like you get and then you get, but then you also get, but then you get? Isn't that a snake draft where you go back and forth, right?
So is it a snake?
I'm not going there.
Hey, it's Monday.
No? Yes? The control room will catch up. I'm talking about the dunk contest because the contestants have been announced. Anthony Simons, Cassius Stanley, and Obi Toppin are going to face off at halftime of the All-Star game. Richard, what do you think about this year's field?
Knicks fans, I'm going with Obi Toppin. He's going to bring home the dunk contest trophy. Knicks fans, you got that. I like Obi Toppin. He was doing some of the craziest dunks in college.
Well, I think sometimes we get caught up in big names, but at the end of the day, I get excited off some of these guys.
Dunks, right?
Some of these guys that don't even make the NBA on social media, the dunks they're doing. You know what I mean? So I think these three young, fresh blood add Zion, add Edwards, and we'll have a hell of a dunk contest.
That would be nice. No, look, when Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine put on what I thought was one of the best dunk contests we've ever had, they were not the big names in the league, right? And you talk about what's on social media.
This.
Look at some of these YouTube videos, guys. This is on Twitter.
I get excited. To me, it's about creativity, and you have to be able to jump.
It
doesn't matter what your name is.
Right?
Look at that.
For us.
Look at that.
Right?
That's the stuff that's kind of ruined the dunk contest, because you want pros to do stuff like that. Pros are like, I practice basketball, not dunking.
There should be a way to get like these guys that aren't in the NBA somehow inserted into a contest.
Well, TNT, I think during the pandemic quarantine when nothing was going on, they did some of that stuff. But okay, so guys, I know we've talked about, should we bribe the players with $1 million, you know, all that stuff?
Yes, first and foremost.
Why do we need to bribe anyone? Why can't guys just go be in the dunk contest? Why can't bigger names come be in the dunk contest?
You asked us what our opinion is, and we're telling you the answer is yes.
But why? Why?
They want money.
Is that a yes or no question?
No, because you actually can get criticized if you have a poor performance, right? Like with social media and all that stuff.
Maybe you get criticized if you have a bad game.
So then don't go.
These guys are used to it. They're tough.
Why do we have to change the format to make the All-Star game more competitive? If you want guys to show up and be competitive and you want guys to show up, you've got to do something.
Danny confirms it is not a snake draft. It's every other one for the All-Star draft. That'll be on Thursday on TNT. The Jump will be back.
We're back in the building.